Hello and welcome, advanced listeners. Welcome to Advanced Radio. We're so glad that you came back to the third day of our Newsworthy Clips article. Thank you for hanging in there. We know that we've been getting through a lot of material over these last 3 days, but you are here with us. So thank you for joining us. But I think some other people have come back as well. Let's find out who they are. To my left, I have...
Hi, everyone. It's Albert.
Welcome back, Albert.
It's good to be back.
Thanks for hanging in there as well. And to my right, I have...
It's Brendan.
Brendan, you came back.
Yes, thank you for having me back.
Thanks for coming back. Well, I know that we've been covering a lot of material, and particularly yesterday, we talked about headphones that deliver 3D sound. Now, I'd just love to hear from both of you maybe something that we can review from yesterday's article. Albert?
Well, just the fact that there's 3D sound. You know, I never thought that would be something that I would want in my headphones. Usually I'm thinking of like durability, cost, I guess fidelity, and yeah, just 3D sound. I feel like this is going to be something that's going to be so commonplace in the near future that we're going to look back and be like, what did I ever do without 3D sound?
Right. Well, that's something to look forward to in the future. What about you, Brendan? What was something you felt from yesterday?
I was really interested as to how they tried to make the 3D sound. How they would calibrate the headphones to your ear, because each individual ear is unique, and we all hear sound differently. So that was very interesting to me.
Yeah, a very interesting article, especially as we're heading into a lot of virtual reality technology. We've seen a lot of articles talking about that. We talk about seeing things, the view that you will see as you are in the virtual reality world. But this is talking about sound. And particularly we heard from a San Diego startup called OSIC, who is developing the technology to calibrate to our anatomy so that we hear the sounds around us. And it's interesting because it's a niche right now, a market or an area that hasn't really been developed too much yet. But I think after yesterday's article, we all felt that this is something that's going to be the future. We will be considering 3D headphones in the near future, and especially the fact that it is individualized to each and every single person. Well, that was exciting and a different newsworthy article, but today we have something yet again very different. We are traveling to the ocean, and we're going to learn a little bit about what is happening into the ocean and perhaps what is happening dangerously with the ocean. Let's learn a little bit more as we start today's reading. We're going to start our reading on the left column of page 24, line 1.
Ocean acidification, putting marine life at risk, study finds. A new study, based on the most extensive set of measurements ever made in tide pools, suggests that ocean acidification will increasingly put many marine organisms at risk by exacerbating normal changes in ocean chemistry that occur overnight. Conducted along California's rocky coastline, the study shows that the most vulnerable organisms are likely to be those with calcium carbonate shells or skeletons. Why it is happening? Ocean acidification is occurring as the oceans absorb increasing amounts of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Where carbon dioxide concentrations are steadily rising because of emissions from the burning of fossil fuels. Absorption of carbon dioxide changes seawater chemistry, pushing it toward the lower acidic end of the pH scale. Although it remains slightly alkaline, a small decrease in pH affects the chemical equilibrium of ocean water, reducing the availability of carbonate ions needed by a wide range of organisms to build and maintain structures of calcium carbonate, such as the shells of mussels and oysters.
Well, listeners, if you're just joining us, we are on the third day of our newsworthy clip article, and we are talking about ocean acidification, which is putting marine life at risk. Now, this is according to a study, and in the study, we're going to learn a little bit more about what they have to say in this article. But what do we start off with in a first line here, Albert?
That based on the most extensive set of measurements ever made in tide pools, it suggests that, hey, ocean acidification is increasingly putting many marine organisms at risk.
Right. Now, what is a tide pool?
A tide pool is an area close to the ocean where water collects. The tide comes in, water flows into this area, and then when the tide recedes, the water stays in that area because it is trapped either by a sandbar or any other number of reasons.
Okay, now this sentence is actually quite difficult based on the most extensive set of measurements ever made in tide pools. What do we mean by that, Albert?
Well, when you do something extensive, it's just, you know, you're very thorough. It's very comprehensive as well. You know, it's in detail oriented and you're just making sure everything is checked out.
Right, and in studies, that's what we do. We're using measurements to figure out data about something. And in this case, the scientists have gone to these tide pools and used a lot of different ways to measure what is happening within the tide pool. Now, from the data that they collected from this study, it suggests that ocean acidification will increasingly put many marine organisms at risk. What is an organism, Brendan?
An organism is just a fancy Latin word for living creature. It can include anything from people to elephants to even the smallest things like bacteria.
Right. Good. Yeah. And at risk, we find that these marine organisms could be at risk. What does that term mean, Albert?
At risk means they are in danger.
Right. So they're finding this ocean acidification may be putting the marine organisms in danger by exacerbating normal changes in ocean chemistry that occur overnight. What does the word exacerbate mean?
Exacerbate, as far as I understand, is very similar to aggravate. It sort of, or agitate or something like that. I'm not entirely sure the exact definition, so could you help me out with this one?
Well, it means to make something worse, and probably in a larger scale than in a smaller scale. So it's making, the ocean acidification is making the marine organism's life very difficult compared to the normal changes that happen in the ocean chemistry. Now, this ocean chemistry happens overnight, probably due to tides coming in and out. We have low tide and high tide, and so that changes along with the temperature in the air. That changes the chemistry for the marine organisms. Now, where was this study conducted, Albert?
It's conducted along California's rocky coastline. I'm from California.
You are. So have you ever experienced this rocky coastline?
Yes. About 8 years ago, my friends and I took a road trip. We rented a car, and we drove along the one highway to the 101 to the back to the one. It's a longer route, but it's, you know, just all along the coastline. It's really beautiful. And this was before smartphones, I believe, or before any of us had any smartphones, and we would just, like, camp out anywhere that we can find lodging. So it was really nice. I encourage people to do that. It's very laid back. And I believe the coastline is rocky is because water level used to be a lot higher. So the oceans has been receding a little bit, and, you know, the waves erode away at the rocks, and they left this rocky coastline.
Right. Okay. Well, they've been doing this test along the coastline to see how marine life has been, well, how well they're doing along the coastline. And we see that there are some vulnerabilities that have occurred here. What are they, Brendan?
Well, it says in the article that the acidification is eating away at the calcium carbonate shells of certain organisms.
Now, do you know what animals have calcium carbonate shells?
Clams, oysters, anything that has a really, really hard outer shell.
Right, and so it's interesting that these are the organisms that are most vulnerable because they have this shell.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering why that is. Well, we can find out in the next paragraph. Why is it happening, Albert?
Because we're burning a lot more fossil fuels. They come from such things like cars, and it's being absorbed by the ocean, and it's affecting the pH level. I just imagine, like, back in fifth grade science class where you get a jar of vinegar and you put a chicken bone in it and it becomes really soft, right? So the vinegar has a different pH balance in terms of how it is towards the alkaline end, and it affects and eats away at things that are made out of calcium, like the chicken bone. Or in this case, we have marine life where they have shells made out of calcium, and hey, it's being like stripped away, it's eating away their shells, and it's putting their life in risk.
Right, so carbon dioxide basically has an effect on calcium.
Mm-hmm.
That is a pretty basic chemistry happening there. And so this is the result of it. It's causing the ocean to acidify. And so I think it's interesting that there are a lot of fossil fuel emissions being burned that is causing the carbon dioxide to increase, and like you said, it's being absorbed by the ocean. Now, the absorption of carbon dioxide is changing the seawater chemistry and is causing it toward the lower acidic end of the pH scale. Now, you talked a little bit about that, Albert. What is the pH scale, Brendan?
The pH scale is a set of numbers from 1 to 14, I believe, that determines how acidic or basic any chemical compound is within chemistry. Now, we kind of know what acidic means. It's a properties of acidic compounds means they sort of burn or eat through less acidic compounds. Bases are the opposite of that. They don't eat through other compounds. Rather, they serve to neutralize acids. So the lower the pH of a compound, the more acidic it is. The higher the pH, the more basic it is.
Good. Now, in our article, we talk about another term used for this basic that you're talking about, and that's called alkaline. Now, that's a word that is pretty much the opposite of acidic, right?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. And we see that a small degree or a small decrease in pH affects the chemical equilibrium of ocean water. When we're talking about equilibrium, Albert, what do we mean?
Yeah, so the word equilibrium means a balance, a state of balance for things. So basically, the balance of the water. It's very delicate. Nature is very delicate.
Right. Good. And we even see that in ourselves. If we are running a temperature and we are 1 degree higher, we would be running a fever. So, like you said, those little small changes in nature are very important. Now, we see here that because of this small decrease in pH affecting the ocean, it's reducing the availability of carbonate ions. Why are carbonate ions so important? Well, they're needed by a whole range of organisms to build and maintain their structure, and in particular, those of calcium carbonate. So that is needed for these clams, these oysters, to continue to have the structure that they have.
Yeah, it's similar to how when I was a child, my parents wanted me to drink milk. And they said, if you drink your milk, you will get strong bones. It's sort of the same principle here, only instead of drinking milk, the clams are absorbing the calcium carbonate ions from the ocean itself to make their shells stronger.
Right, so that is very important for them. So this chemistry change in the ocean is really affecting them. So that's what we're looking at here. Well, let's learn a little bit more about this study as we go on into our next reading for today.
Christy Croker, Assistant Professor of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at the University of California, Santa Cruz, is a co-author of the new study, published in Scientific Reports. Tide pools are home to lots of different species that regularly experience daily swings in chemistry, Croker said. Tide pools can experience particularly corrosive seawater during nighttime low tides, when all of the animals are exhaling carbon dioxide into the water that has been cut off from the ocean. Something must be done. Unless carbon dioxide emissions are rapidly curtailed, we expect ocean acidification to continue to lower the pH of seawater, said lead author Lester Kwiatkowski of the Carnegie Institution of Science. This work highlights that even in today's temperate coastal oceans, calcifying species such as mussels and coralline algae can dissolve during the night due to the more acidic conditions caused by community respiration. These results highlight the vulnerability of marine species in even the most dynamic conditions to the global process of ocean acidification, Croker said.
Well, listeners, we have been talking about ocean acidification and the fact that it is putting some marine life, particularly those that have calcium carbonate shells, at risk, or in other words, putting them in danger. And we've learned that due to the increase of fossil fuel emissions, carbon dioxide has increased in the atmosphere. It's absorbed into the ocean, which changes the chemistry of seawater. And as it does that, it's also changing the ability for these calcium carbonate shell organisms to be able to keep that calcium carbonate. So there's somebody doing this study. Her name is Christy Croker, and she's an assistant professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at the University of California in Santa Cruz. And she co-authored this new study and published it in Scientific Reports. First of all, gentlemen, what is ecology and evolutionary biology?
Well, ecology is the study of ecosystems, the study of life and how it interacts within an environment. Evolutionary biology is the studying of life as it supposedly evolved over time, or how life changes given stresses, conditions, whatever that might affect it. So ecology and evolutionary biology are fairly close and related to one another.
Okay, and so she co-authored this with somebody else. And what did she say about these tide pools, Albert?
That, you know, they're home to lots of different species that regularly experience daily swings in chemistry. So a daily swing is, imagine a school playground. You have a swing that goes back and forth. So it changes, it goes back and forth, you know, it might change in different chemical properties and whatnot.
Right. Tide pools are affected by the tides. So we have high tide and low tide. And high tide causes the pool to be filled up with water, even covered in water for a period of time. Low tide causes the water to fall away and then reveal the tide pool and cause the water that remains in the tide pool to just stay there. I don't know about you. Have you ever explored tide pools?
I personally haven't. I don't live close to the ocean.
Okay. What about you, Albert?
I have seen other children explore tide pools. Does that count?
You're living vicariously or through other people? I'm not sure about that. But I do hope you get to do that one day. Tide pools are fascinating. They have a lot of marine life inside them. You can see little crabs or little fish or different kinds of species inside the tide pool. I remember studying it when I was in school, and even, I would say, just even a few weeks ago, just doing that at the local beach. It's very, very interesting to see what they're doing, but they are controlled by the tide. And so what happens is that particularly at particular times, there's corrosive seawater that goes into these tide pools. When does that occur?
It usually occurs at nighttime during low tide when all the animals are exhaling carbon dioxide into the water. And since it's cut off from the ocean, the water can't recycle and refresh or become more basic with deeper ocean waters or anything like that.
Right. So these snails or clams or crabs, they're exhaling, they're breathing out carbon dioxide, and that carbon dioxide is causing the seawater to become more corrosive. What does that word corrosive mean, Albert?
It means a substance that causes damage by chemical action. Like earlier we mentioned how when things are acidic, you know, they'll eat away. So what comes to mind is a car battery. If you open a car, take out the car battery, and if it starts leaking, the battery acid is very corrosive and will eat away at your skin. So please be careful.
Yes. Okay, good. So what is happening is because of the increase in carbon dioxide in the sea water from the fossil fuels, there's an increase of that carbon dioxide that is causing these calcium carbonate shell creatures or organisms to experience problems. Well, we go on to see that something must be done. And what do we see in this first sentence here, Brendan?
Well, what we see here is a warning. Unless carbon dioxide emissions are rapidly curtailed, we expect ocean acidification to continue to lower the pH of seawater. That is a warning from a lead author, Lester Kwiatkowski.
Good. Now, he says that unless these carbon dioxide emissions are rapidly curtailed. What does it mean when we say something is curtailed, Albert?
Well, it means to reduce in extent or quantity, basically to impose a restriction. You got to, hey, dial it back, bring it in.
Right. Yes, we're going to reduce it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless we do that, we should expect that ocean acidification will continue to lower the pH of seawater, which means it will continue to increase the acidity of the seawater, right? And what does he go on to say in the next sentence, Brendan?
He says, this work highlights that even in today's temperate coastal oceans, calcifying species such as mussels and coralline algae can dissolve during the night due to more acidic conditions caused by the community respiration.
Okay, let's break down that really long sentence. This work, what work are they referring to, Albert?
The work that they're studying.
Right, good. Yeah, the study. And when we say something is highlighted, what do we mean, Brendan?
It means that it is sort of brought out and pointed out in a sort of interesting way.
Okay, good. Yes, brought attention to this subject or this issue. And what it does is it says that even in today's temperate coastal oceans, what is a temperate coastal ocean, Albert?
Temperate means like, oh, it's open to adjusting, like moody in a sense.
Okay, good. And calcifying species, which we've talked about, like mussels or clams or oysters, or coralline algae, which is another form of calcifying species, which we have in our specialized terms. They are a red algae found in all of the world's oceans, and they're often characterized by a hard skeleton or leafy twig shape. Now, these are also vulnerable or susceptible to the acidic sea water. Unfortunately, they can even go on to dissolve. What does it mean to dissolve, Albert?
To melt away like the Wicked Witch.
Yeah, which it's like melting their shell. This is what the seawater is doing. And it particularly happens at what time of the day, Brendan?
It happens at night when creatures or the ocean creatures are, well, sleeping, for lack of a better word, when they're exhaling the carbon dioxide and there isn't enough warmth of the sun to react with the ocean water to make it less basic, I assume.
So what do these results highlight, Albert?
That, you know, hey, marine species are vulnerable, even in the most dynamic conditions, to the global process of ocean acidification.
Okay, so we see that they're vulnerable. What does it mean to be vulnerable, Brendan?
It means that you are weak or susceptible to a particular condition or thing. So, in this case, To be hurt, yeah. I'm not sure if you are vulnerable, you are actively hurt, but you are more prone to being hurt.
There we go. That's what I meant. Thank you.
Okay, good. And we see that this can happen even in the most dynamic conditions. Albert, what do we mean here by dynamic?
I want to say changing. It's something that's able to shift around.
Right. And this is happening on a global scale in the oceans around the world. That ocean acidification is on the rise. And we would hope that, Brenda, you were mentioning, the sun can affect change, the tides can affect change. Many different conditions can affect this process from happening. Well, we see that this marine life is vulnerable to the acidification of seawater. And this could be a concern because I know many of us like to eat clams or oysters or mussels. So there would be a problem with that, let alone the actual result on the species themselves. So this is something for us to be aware of and be concerned of, and to think about how we are dealing with our environment. How are we treating our environment? Listeners, we would love to hear your feedback. It has been a difficult topic today, but you've hung in there and you've stuck with us and perhaps learned a lot of different scientific vocabulary. But we hope that has increased your English vocabulary. And we would love to hear your feedback, whether it be through Facebook or email. What are some other ways they can get hold of us, Albert?
They can also write to us. If you go to our website, you can find our address and you can write to us. Send us a postcard. That'd be great.
Oh, that would be lovely.
It would.
Well, and also you can check out our QR code for our topic talks videos. We've really enjoyed having you here on this newsworthy clip journey with us. And we hope that you will join us for our next article coming soon. But from Amanda,
Brendan,
Albert,
it is goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye.